across your fucking veins.
Yes?
It's real good.
It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Stuff my fucking whore hole.
Get a life and stop jacking it.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, feels fucking fantastic, man.
Party in my pants.
Guy barked on my tits.
You get off on this, don't you?
I want to milk the chocolate out of your cock.
I drop a load on me.
Get down and bite on my nubbin.
Hey, freaks, it's Tuesday, April 28th, 2009. Coming up on the program today, Flaming Spiders, a threesome with sex dolls, and a dangerously moist burned baby. All of this plus a classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday. It's all coming up right here, right now, on The Distorted View Show.
It's The Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, Tim Henson with you, back for the Tuesday edition of The Distorted View Show. Thank you guys so much for checking out the program. Got a classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday. If you've got a bestiality fetish, or you just like Hanna-Barbera cartoons, whip out your dick, or start pawing at your pussy, because it's a good one. Before we get into Sextastic Tuesday, I thought this was kind of funny. I was reading that gaming blog Kotaku, right? And they had an interesting article. If you guys go to ESPN's website, which is ESPN.com, for those of you who live in a weird country where you've never heard of ESPN, it's a cable sports network, right? Well, if you go to their website, ESPN.com, and you type in the Konami code, you remember the old Nintendo cheat code, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, you know that whole thing? So if you go to ESPN's website and just on your keyboard, press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, enter, little sparkly unicorns will start appearing on your screen. They're cute. Apparently they're trying to attract more 13-year-old girls. Over there to ESPN. At least it was working yesterday. They may have taken it down by now. I don't know. Give it a try over there at ESPN.com. Now it's time to get into Sextastic Tuesday. This is a simple bit where I find horrible or disgusting or poorly written porn and read it to you. It's as easy as that. Now, for the last couple weeks, we've been reading news stories. I thought today we'd dip into the archives and I'd replay the Scooby-Doo themed Sextastic Tuesday story. Yes, someone actually wrote Scooby-Doo sex fan fiction. Here it is.
Oh, mama. It's Sextastic Tuesday. On Distorted View.
All right, now because this week's Sextastic Tuesday story is a little shorter than normal, I thought now would be a good time to play some lost Harry Potter chapters. You know, the new Harry Potter book is coming out. There's several chapters in these books that were cut because they were simply too racy. But they were included in the audio version, the audio books. So one of our listeners, Nick, sent this in. So why don't we take a listen to a lost Harry Potter chapter, and then we'll get into today's real Sextastic Tuesday story.
Harry Potter and the Black Leather Cunt by J.K. Rowling. It was nearly midnight. Harry Potter was lying in bed. Harry pulled out his dick. He looked at it happily for a few seconds, noticing that it was rather thicker than usual and had grown a few inches over the last year. Fingers trembling slightly, Harry grabbed his package and pulled, while enjoying a gentle tickling sensation, pausing every now and then to scratch his ass, which was itching like some weird crab. Holding his dick in one hand, Harry pulled out a belt, which he buckled tightly around it, as though frightened it might explode. Harry Potter propped open a large black leather cunt against the pillow. Harry pushed his dick inside it. He needed to exercise a lot of self-control not to empty his balls at once. The tip of his dick shuddered spraying Harry with spunk, Harry was grinning more broadly than ever. As long as he didn't leave spots of spunk on the sheets, his aunt and uncle need never know.
All right, there you go. Little Harry Potter for you. And now for the main course. Hint, Jinkies. That's right, today's Sextastic Tuesday stars Scooby-Doo in Scooby-Doo-ya. The gang is staying in a large mansion after solving yet another poltergeist mystery. Daphne and Velma have their own room, and Fred, Shaggy, and Scooby are sharing one. Scooby wakes up upon hearing a light moan. Raggy! Shaking him lightly. Raggy, wake up! Not being able to wake Shaggy, Scooby walks timidly to the door. He looks out and noticed it was coming from Daphne's room. Uh-oh. He slowly walks towards her room and pushes the door open a crack and peers in. He sees Daphne with her legs spread and her skirt hiked up, and she's rubbing herself. Scooby catches a whiff of her sex juices. His cock slowly emerges from his sheath. He puts his front paws on the bed to get a better look. As he gets closer, the stronger he smells her, making his cock grow steadily longer. He sees that Daphne has her eyes closed and her shirt up. She's playing with her tits, and she's rubbing her clit with her thumb and sliding two fingers into her snatch. Now, Scooby's cock is almost 13 inches long and still growing. As it grows, it begins to leak a little pre-cum. Being taken by the smell in the air, he stretches out and takes a light swipe with his tongue, starting at her asshole and going all the way up to her mound. Daphne stops and uses her hands to lift up her body to see what the hell is going on. This, of course, gives Scooby a great view of her breasts, causing Scooby's cock to make its maximum size of 15 inches and about 2 inches round, and starts to pulse. Okay. His cock is now almost totally wet with his pre-cum. Scooby, no! Go away!
Uh-oh!
Daphne's such a stuck-up bitch. Just let the dog lick your crotch, for Christ's sakes. All right, what is he saying?
Rawr! I want to help! Relp! Whatever the hell, however he talks.
No, Scooby, you can't! But upon seeing Scooby's erect cock, it causes her to weaken her resolve, and Scooby takes this lapse in control to take a harder swipe of her groin with his tongue. Scraping her clit with the abrasiveness of his tongue causes Daphne to moan. Scooby continues his onslaught as she lies back, moaning in pleasure. Scooby climbs onto the bed and starts to lick up her body. Starting at her tits, he suckles on one, slightly nibbling it. He then turns around, then works his back to her pussy. Then he really starts to lap at her cunt, digging into it with his tongue. Daphne feels as if she has a live snake in her pussy, slithering into every nook and cranny. Nook and cranny? Talking about fucking Fig Newtons. She then comes onto Scooby's hungry muzzle, screaming in ecstasy. She grabs his head and pulls him towards her face so that she can get to his large cock. She slowly starts to rub his member with her hands, getting them slick and pre-cum off of his member, and then slowly lowering her mouth to the tip, lightly sucking and licking it. She removes her mouth and continues to rub his member as he starts to hump her hand. After a few minutes of this, he tenses up and starts to shoot his load right in a line up against her body, putting large globules of cum on her face. Scooby stands there panting, and then noticing the mess he made, he proceeds to lick up the cum, working his way up to her face. Scooby's into some freaky shit, man. When he finally reaches her face, she's licking the cum off of her face where she can reach. What? That makes absolutely no sense. This story is a nightmare to read, by the way, people. When he finally reaches her face, she is licking the cum off her face where she can reach. Oh, okay. Well, that painful to navigate. Who's writing this story? Jacking off while he's writing it. Yeah, Scooby, Daphne, yeah. Okay. Back to the story here. See if I can get through this. He slips his tongue down her throat before retreating back to his muzzle. He licks back down her body and starts to excavate her honey mine. Slipping his tongue as far as he can into her. She can't take anymore. And finally she rolls over and gets on all fours. Scooby immediately mounts her, humping, trying to find her sex hole. He finally succeeds in piercing her. He starts humping faster, pushing in deeper and deeper. When he hits her cervix, she has an orgasm. As she's As she's coming off, this is like written by a 12-year-old boy. I strongly believe it. As she is coming off her high, she feels this large object slapping against her lips. And as it finally begins to enter, she finds that it's larger than a grapefruit.
But is it bigger than a bread box?
She starts to try to relax because she wants, no, needs that large object in her. She starts, there really is a ... there. She wants ... no, needs. She starts pushing back in sync, trying to get that knot in. Scooby, feeling his knot inside, he picks up speed again. She feeling this large object inside her, moving so fast causes her to have another climax. He starts going as fast as he can, desperate to fill her with his seed. She feels as though she's constantly coming to the feeling of her pistoning into her. That makes no sense either. She's constantly coming to the feeling of her pistoning into her. He finally thrusts in one last time, pushing into her womb, then releasing a torrent of cum into her, and she releases a torrent in turn. She then collapses under him after such pleasure. Scooby then turns around so that they are butt to butt. Butt spelled B-U-T. Daphne, gaining a little of her strength back, begins to rock to get herself off again. But before she can, Scooby pops out. She collapses onto the bed, and Scooby lies behind her with his legs around her. And that's where the story ends. Holy fuck. We better check in with another chapter of Harry Potter. Take it away.
Harry Potter and the Underage Blowjob by J.K. Rowling. Harry Potter pulled his flies open, and his large purple prick stood out like a salami. It was swelling like a monstrous balloon, and a vein was throbbing. Hermione, one of Harry's best friends, went down on him. She had stretched her mouth tightly, entirely round his dick, and sat gulping wetly. Hermione was lapping noisily, but the swelling didn't stop. A loud ripping noise rent the air. His trousers were in bloody tatters. Harry withdrew his prick from her mouth. It must be 14 inches, said Hermione. She jerked Harry off, pulling on his dick, with her little finger sticking out. Harry was shaking all over. He felt his stomach clench. Harry squirted a nasty-smelling liquid into Hermione's face. Hermione spluttered and blinked, her great ruddy face dripping. Excellent nosh! She burped richly, smacking her lips. I just lost control.
I completely forgot that I added some of those Harry Potter stories in with the Scooby-Doo porn. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, up, fucked up news right now! Yep, if you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, DV's member site, sign up right now. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. Support the program. You get full access to the entire archive of programs. Plus, we do extended shows, exclusive shows, and video casts. This past weekend, we did a bonus episode, also a video cast. Yesterday was an extended show. And today, I've got a bonus episode just for my Sideshow Freaky Deekies a little bit later today. Sign up right now so you don't miss a thing. Superfreaksideshow.com. Three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. Oh, I should mention, I've also updated my soda blog, fizzledout.com, with something that's really been pissing me off lately. I don't know where the hell 7-Up gets off, but enough with the goddamn pussified drinks. Why are, like, every single 7-Up product now is aimed at women. Like, their cherry 7-Up product now has antioxidants. Oh, my God, those fucking free radicals! Oh, I hope I don't get breast cancer. I better down some cherry 7. Look, if you are... Why would you drink a soda for its health properties? Is that not the most fucktarded thing you've ever heard of? And, like, they've got 7-Up Plus, which features calcium, right? And vitamin C, right? I guess it's, you know, you're never going to have to worry about getting osteoporosis if you drink 7-Up Plus or whatever. Really, calcium. Calcium and soda. It's just stupid to me. Oh, fix it now. Make some manly sodas for me, please. If you want, I mean, I've got more to say about this, but I wrote it already out. So if you want to check it out, fizzledout.com is my retarded soda blog. All right, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. I need to calm down. Get so worked up.
Making me angry. I hurt myself.
All right, yes, first story we have for you today. This one comes from the UK. A man had to be rescued after setting the front of his house on fire while trying to kill a stupid little insignificant spider with a lighter. He blew up his fucking house. Firefighters say the man, in his late 40s, had been trying to set fire to the spider. Why don't you just step on it or something? As it crawled up the front of the semi-detached property. But sparks reached material behind the cladding and caused a fire within the wall shortly before midnight. Three fire engines raced to the scene and found the man trying to put out the flames with a garden hose. Spider 1, humanity 0. If we can't outsmart a spider, what chance do we have against the monkeys? For Christ's sakes, humanity, look alive! It's go time! Can't continually be having these slip-ups. We look ridiculous to the monkeys. Yes. Watch manager Steve Pierce said the man was trying to put the fire out with a garden hose when we arrived. The whole thing had clearly scared the life out of him. There was a gap in the cladding where he was trying to kill the spider, and so the sparks got through to the material behind and started spreading upwards towards the roof. Alright, the watch manager went on. Our concern was that it would reach the roof and the property would be lost. We sent firefighters up to the loft to put it out, and fortunately we were able to stop it in time. Surprisingly, there wasn't much damage to the house. We obviously had a chat with the man, but I don't think he'll be doing this again. I think his days setting insects on fire are over with. Stupid spider outwitted him. Second story we have for you today. Oh, this is a Distorted View update from our most fucked up state. Say it with me!
Florida is the most fucked up state.
Where else would you find a man having sex with not one blow-up doll in a public place, but he was having a threesome with blow-up dolls? What's the point of that? George Bartusek, who got freaky with two blow-up sex dolls in a grocery store parking lot. Oh, that's right. Wasn't it a Publix parking lot? Yeah, he won't do jail time, though, a judge has ruled. No. Bartusek was left off with 6 months probation for his open-air synthetic threesome in a Publix parking lot in Cape Coral in February. Stunned onlookers had seen the 51-year-old inappropriately touching his companions in plain sight. So he was plowing one of them, I'm guessing, and then fingering the other blow-up doll. Or maybe, like, playing with its tits or something. As I walked by, I saw this guy with two blow-up dolls kissing them and bouncing them and trying to get people's attention, said a female witness. It's just crazy, you know. And I'm with my daughter, and she couldn't believe what we were seeing, added another witness. Bartusek, like his blow-up friends, stayed silent as he left court after the sentencing, refusing to answer any reporters' questions. And I'm guessing they had quite a few. Ooh. Why didn't the judge ask him why? Why two? Again, I don't care about the fact that he was having sex in public. Just why did he need two of them? Charged with a breach of peace and trespassing, Bartusek was facing a year in jail for his escapades. Now he'll likely have to go to Winn-Dixie for groceries. The judge told him he isn't welcome back at Publix. But I've got a shopper loyalty card at Publix. What am I going to do with that? I'm $7 away from getting a free ham. Damn these urges of mine. That's right, you could have been fucking a spiral cut ham. Now you're just going to have to stick with fucking your blow-up doll. I bet you sticking your dick in a ham would feel more like a pussy than those blow-up dolls. You know what I mean? Have you guys ever fucked a pussy that felt like ham? If so, leave me a voicemail. I feel like the Jerry Springer Show. Do you guys remember, like, when Jerry would go to break, the announcer would come on and try to get guests for upcoming segments? Does your daughter have Down syndrome and dress too sexy? If so, call 1-800-96-JERRY and tell us about it. Does your elderly mother masturbate to the Bible? We want to hear about it. Have you ever injected a body part with your liquefied feces?
I've injected my knee with my feces, 120 cc's under my kneecap.
You'd be a guest on the Jerry Springer Show. Have you ever fucked a spiral cut ham? Tell us about it. All right, final story we have for you today. This one comes from Missouri. The parents of a five-month-old... Uh-oh. Things aren't looking up. All right, here's some evidence. A, this is Distorted View Daily. B, a toddler was referenced in the first sentence of a news story. All signs point to tragedy. The parents of a five-month-old are under arrest and charged with endangering the welfare of a child after the baby was burned. Hold on. To load up a sound clip here. Yes, if the child was burned and they didn't take him to the hospital for weeks. Police said officials at Children's Mercy Hospital called them when the baby boy was brought in with burns. The boy's parents, Erica Davis and Jake Fisher III, said he was accidentally burned with hot water during a bath. A likely story. Is this a Distorted View update? I don't even know. We read so many burned baby stories, I can't keep track of them all. Yeah, of course. All right, Davis first told police that on Thursday, March 26, the baby was burned and she tried to find a ride to the hospital but couldn't. So she just gave up. All right, well, it wasn't meant to be. She said she didn't call an ambulance because she didn't want to pay the $700 for it. Okay, it's reasonable. Davis then told police she did manage to get the baby to the hospital, but then later she admitted that it was a lie. You can't lie about something that is easily fact-checked, you know what I mean? Like, you're dealing with the police, I'm sure the hospital has records, so it was good that she finally came around and said it was a lie. Davis said she finally sought medical treatment on April 22nd, which, you know, doing some quick calculation is almost a month after the baby was burned, because it, quote, started to look moist. Yeah, I'm no medical professional, but yeah. Moist burns, that doesn't sound good at all. Fisher told police he had been giving the boy a bath in the sink. He had taken his eye off of him for less than 30 seconds to attend his one-year-old daughter who had defecated on the bathroom floor. Then he heard the baby scream. Fisher told police his two-year-old daughter had turned off the cold water in the sink, so only hot water was pouring onto the baby. Fisher said, well, you know what then? That one-year-old daughter should be going to jail. Fry her ass in the electric chair. Fisher said he tried to treat the baby and called Davis. He said he didn't call an ambulance because the injuries were not bleeding and did not appear life-threatening. Hospital photos showed the baby had burns to the stomach, thighs, and butt area, and the hospital said they had no record of him ever being treated. There you go. That, my friends, is your Distorted News for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, checking in with my freaky deekies today.
Hey, Tim, it's Rob from Cleveland. Real quick, I am back in front of the White House again. Yeah, whatever, callers. And I am surrounded by unsavories. I don't know why they're here.
Every time you go to the White House, there's something weird going on. It's anti-circumcision movement, now the unsavories. Ridiculous.
Yeah, whatever, callers. And I am surrounded by unsavories. I don't know why they're here, but it's shit. They heard me. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob, for checking in.
Hey, Tim, this is W.E. from Minnesota.
Hi.
Listening to the black lady kept saying, it's Wong, it's Wong.
You're right.
But I think the both you and I know that two Wongs don't make a white.
That's true. Two Wongs don't make a white.
Hey, Tim. It's Don. I'm on the phone. What are it? What? What? What do you want?
Where are the pictures I was supposed to see? That's what I want. It's the last goddamn time. I want someone to use their fucking brains. Not come out of a goddamn up-tempo number and I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
Hey, Tim. This is the Dead Bunny Sideshow member. Yes. And I just got done listening to, the whole city of Rochester going batshit bananas at a Popeye's chicken, running out of chicken.
Right.
It's funny because I live in Rochester and I know that area, and right across the river is Avenue D, where all the black people and crack dealers are. No, absolutely no relation to each other. But
I mean, it's interesting that we learned how to rile the black community up. Take away their Popeye's chicken.
I thought that was cute that you mentioned my hometown there. I feel kind of soft inside. I'm kind of pissed you never mentioned, you never play those videos of Jim the Hammer Shapiro, though. I sent those to you, and they're fucking hilarious. And you never play them.
Jim the Hammer Shapiro. I'm not familiar. I'll have to look those up in my Gmail.
Hey, Tim. It's Marissa from New York.
Hey, Marissa.
I was just finished listening to the Monday, April 27th episode.
Oh, you know what? I just learned something. This was during my soda search or whatever, but it doesn't really have anything to do with soda, so whatever. But, you know, I love drinking Rockstar energy drink. That's my energy drink of choice. When I need to, you know, stay awake and do the show or whatever, I tend to drink Rockstar. Do you know who founded Rockstar energy drink? Michael Savage. Some crazy nut job. If you've ever seen clips, he got fired from MSNBC, and he is just insane. Look up some clips of him. He has a radio show or whatever. He and his son are the guys that started Rockstar. I don't know if I can continue drinking this.
Hey, Tim. It's Marissa from New York. I was just finished listening to the Monday, April 27th episode, and I was listening to you playing the Dating on Demand clip with the retard, and, you know, you just sounded so endearing. It sounded like you really, you know, almost wanted to be this guy's friend, and I think that, you know, it would be, like, the best sitcom in the whole world, you know, Tim and the Unsavory. Out together, doing dishes, hanging out, going out for beers, picking up chicks.
It's not a bad premise for a sitcom. I've heard worse.
Having chicks vomit on them. You know, it'd be great. And I think that you should really see if he's available for you to meet up with.
Oh, he's not doing anything. Believe me, he's available.
You really have a connection.
I'm going to have to pitch that to the networks.
Who stole the cookie from the cookie jar? I stole the cookie from the cookie jar. Shut the fuck up, Dan Marino. Nobody cares that you're not fat anymore, you douchebag. God damn it.
Okay, I'm not entirely sure what he's referring to there. Okay, thank you. That's what I want to hear. That's exactly what I want to hear. Fucking Jay Giles band.
It's Nanopus!
Oh.
You can call me Nanopus. And guess what? I love
bananas.
Hey there, Tim!
Ah!
That's groundskeeper Willie Cole, I guess. Willie Scollum. Two things. Firstly, I think you should change your voicemail message to the Rainbow Bread.
Oh, right.
Piss
okay.
Everyone off. And I'm talking about a cutler. I'm talking about the full 7-minute long bastard.
Okay, right. 7-minute long voicemail greeting.
Secondly, I was at my school today, and we have assembly, as we do. And they're reading poems by this really fucked up poet. And one of the poems they read, out the title, Little Mary Who Told Lies and Was Burned to Death. Now, at this point, absolutely everyone in the auditorium bursts out laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I almost fall on the floor. And once the laughter dies down, I'm still continuing laughing uncontrollably. And everyone starts to stare at me. So, I'd like to thank you for that, Tim, for making me a pretty much social outcast for the day. But it's
do what
okay.
I can.
I still love you.
Aw, thank you very much, Groundkeeper Willie, whatever the hell your name is. That is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OH-GOD. It's an OH-GOD.
Liquefy it and pump it in.
Vote for us a podcast, Ali. Subscribe via iTunes. If you guys are Sideshow members, got a bonus episode of the show for you a little bit later today. If you're not a member, sign up right now, and we will be back on Wednesday to do it all over again. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Sure.
what the heck is in our water supply? What the heck is in our oxygen supply of the metallic oxide salt that create a rainbow effect in a sprinkler? What is oozing out of our ground that allows this type of effect to happen? Not just around our sun and our moon anymore. Everywhere we look, the visible spectrum is rainbows. This cannot be natural.